Get your Bibles and open them up. Follow along with me this morning, because then and only then will you know that the things being taught are true, truly found in God's Word. And as we consider the lesson this morning, if there should be something amiss in your life that's contrary to God's Word this morning, that you might take this very hour to correct that while there's still yet time and opportunity. That song Brother John led, I appreciate dearly because I requested it of him. But it's a legitimate song. Where could we go if we don't have the Lord? Really? Stop and think about it. You know, as a young man, I thought I knew the way. You know, I think every young man thinks he knows the way. But then I realized I don't know the way. Where can we go but to the Lord? You know, we are blessed, as we mentioned many, many times here this morning, with the love of God that we have. So, as we consider this morning, where can we go but to Jesus? As we notice, the Hebrew writer there tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, looking there at the very first four verses, is God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Yes, what a gracious, mighty, powerful, awesome God we have. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we cannot even begin with meager words of mankind to express all the glory and honor and power that is in him. And as we look this morning, let us seriously think. Perhaps you're struggling right now, trying to find a way, trying to find some answers, or trying to find some resolve, or trying to come to some sort of understanding. Where do you go? To the Lord. So, the worlds were made through him, through our Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made by him. As we see there in John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and that Word was God. Who is it? Jesus, of course. And the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Yes, my Lord and Savior, he brought everything, created everything. He was there from the very beginning. All things are upheld by him. As he overcame the grave and overcame death and sitting there on the throne today with all things in subjection to him, he upholds all the universe. We don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about a meteor coming and striking us right here. It's all in his hands. I can't be worried about, climate heating up, you know. I can't be worried about that because it's in his hands. He controls all of that. As we see, all things are held by him. In 2 Peter chapter 3, looking there at verses 3 through 7, we read there, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Yes. Jesus is coming again, and there are those scoffers today mocking, that Jesus is not coming. And then we also see, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. Yes, and they have. For this, they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perishes, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by that same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Yes? Excuse me. There is a great day coming. There is a day of judgment that each and every one of us is going to face. And we will be held accountable for the things that we've said and done, and for the things we have failed to say and do. But you know, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, He keeps all things until that time. So I don't have to worry about it. We can depend on His help. He is the Almighty. And as we consider the Psalms, as the psalmist records in Psalms 46, looking there at the first three verses, and notice what he says here. God is our refuge and strength. And He is, if you let Him, present help in trouble, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And we really shouldn't, because He is in control. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, all things is in His control. And we can depend on Him to maintain, to keep on keeping on, to continue until it is that final day. He has the power. There is no way man can even begin to, well, they can try, but to make little of the power that He has. As we consider in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, we see there, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. We've all faced them. Someone has always faced that trouble that you're faced with. It's not uncommon. It's a common thing. But God is faithful. Yes, where can you go in those times? God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation, listen to this, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. You know, we hear all these words, but we sometimes leave out parts of it, don't we? We must recognize that there is a way that He'll provide for us to escape. So where can you go but to the Lord? So, He's the brightness of God's glory. Just stop and think of our Lord and Savior. If God is the sun, or were the sun, then Jesus would be the sunshine. He is the very essence of the Almighty Great I Am. He is superior. He is holy. As we see in John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was. Yes, let us not sell short what our Savior has done and who He is. He's the very expressed image of God. You know, I kind of marvel in some ways how man's always made up these visions of God. Well, I know God made my Savior in the image, made us in the image of Him. We know when Jesus came here to this low land, He had an image like us. So I have an idea, but He is the very image of God. Recognize Him as we read about all the miracles that He's done and all the teachings and travelings and heartaches and issues that Jesus, my Lord, has been through. You know, God's gone through those. He anguishes every time there's sin in our lives. For all the things that He's done, we mentioned this morning many, many times, how much God has done for us, and yet how oftentimes we have forsaken Him, we have rejected Him, downright denied Him. Jesus, as we see in John 14, verses 7 through 9. John 14, 7 through 9, He says, "If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also," He says. Right? Jesus is telling it pretty plain, isn't He? If you listen to Me, if you've known Me, you'll know who the Father is. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. And Philip said to Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Yeah. And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known Me, Philip? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Well, you haven't known Jesus, then, have you? If you know Jesus, you know the Father. As we consider, His way is the best way. It took me a while to learn that. I was kind of hard-headed. Actually, I'm trying to think. I must have been about 32, I guess, at the time I finally obeyed the gospel, something like that. But His way is the best way. But you know, it's going to restrict me from doing a lot of things I like to do. To go out with the world and have all the entertainment and fun. Well, I'll tell you one thing, that's not the best way. His way is the best way. It may seem constraining at times. You may say, it's all anti this, anti that, anti this. No. It's all being true to the Lord. Finding the best. As we're told there in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way," very plainly. "The truth." You know, and we like people to tell us the truth, don't we? But do we want to hear it sometimes? "But He is the truth, and He is the life." The life is blessed. A life that is complete. Has all that you need. A life that can find peace and comfort and satisfaction with the state that they're in. "No one comes to the Father except through Me." So where can you go but to the Lord? You have no other place. If you've been scratching your head wondering what to do, I'm telling you this morning, come to the Lord. Also, He is the heir of all things. Yes, all things. As we see there in Galatians 4 and 4. Galatians 4 and 4, "But when the fullness of the time had come, Jesus sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Yes, That is God's Son that was sent for us. And through him we become and have that great heir unto the Heavenly Father. And he sits at the right hand of God right now. He is there. All things have been placed under his feet. So, as we consider in Acts 1 and verse 9, now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, Jesus was taken up, or he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Yes, he is at the right hand of the Father, ruler. Also, we see in Daniel, Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, we're told there, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Yes, what a superior king we have. He provides his great inheritance. We all understand what inheritances are. It's left by a relative, a member of the family, down to another member. God has left an inheritance for us through his Son, and it's not going to be destroyed. As we see in John 16 and 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, he says, it is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus knew he had to go through this torment, this crucifixion. He also knew he had to go away, return back to the Father. Why? Because he's up there preparing a place for you. Anyway, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So you know what? Those have been obedient to Christ. He has sent the Comforter to you, the Holy Spirit. He sent you the avenue of prayer to speak to the Almighty. He's given to you the greatest blessing of all, the hope of salvation. So, as we consider in Acts 2, verses 33 through 36, there on that day of Pentecost, as Peter was speaking and the other apostles as well. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord saith to my Lord, set at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Yes, he is Lord. He is the Christ. He inherited a greater name than angels. Stop and think about that. A greater name than angels. Now, we place a lot of emphasis on that. Jesus was given a greater name than even the angels. As we see in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, whom, being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, we have such a great inheritance through him. So, he's identified himself with us. As we see in Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 18. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Yes, Jesus made himself, as identified with us, took on that fleshly form. As we consider, his superior power aids us, if we allow it. His superior essence guides us in where we should go. And his superior inheritance should bind us securely to him. Where could I go but to the Lord? It's a legitimate question. Excuse me. If there's any here who has not put on Christ, I'd like to encourage you to do so while there's still time and opportunity. Because there's nowhere else to go. But if you put on Christ, as we were speaking a couple weeks ago in the boys' class here, when you put on Christ, that means that there is a change. Funny how oftentimes, though, changes doesn't occur. And the world just kind of pulls you right back into it. Where can you go? Come back to the Lord while you still have time and opportunity. If there's anyone here that has a need, we'd be happy to pray for you, pray with you. Do what? Come forward while together we stand and sing.